Previously on Unranked.
Spiffy said, did you know that bologna cake is a thing? And would you try it?
Gross.
With vegetarian bologna for Chris. And there's an image of a cake. People are mad in the Discord about it. It's more savory than... Follow-up info. It's more savory than sweet. The white is supposed to be cream cheese plus ranch. Ugh. Yeah. And the yellow is cheese whiz. Oh, God.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Yeah, no. Not about it.
What is the least amount of money that you would eat this?
$200. I'll do it for $200.
Yeah, $200.
I was thinking of $100. I was like, I'll do it for $100. Then I'm thinking like $100 really doesn't go that
I would far. Ask someone to pay me a couple like $1,000.
Hello and welcome. It is the 425th episode of the Unranked Podcast. I am Christian Humes here, and with me today is the delightful, the always bubbly, GameSpot extraordinaire, Tom Caswell.
What is up? Good to be here. Sad that it is just me this week.
You got Alex sick.
Well, the jury's out. We don't really know what's happened, but Alex is definitely sick. It's definitely COVID, and he definitely didn't get his booster, so he is in rough shape.
I'm surprised for such a hypochondriac that he missed out on the booster.
I think he just, like, I mean, he'd already, like, done his, like, because his daughter got sick, like, had the flu a couple of months ago. And I remember him complaining and being like, man, he was worried he was going to get sick. He was like, I forgot to get the boost, my shot, like I forgot to get my COVID vaccine.
And he's an anti-vaxxer, you can say it.
No, I definitely don't want to label a good friend of mine an anti-vaxxer and have that be
I can't hear you
clipped out. You can't hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can.
Oh, it might have been as I was adjusting the USB.
Oh, right, you went like this. I said he's an anti-vaxxer and you went to see,
well,
like you're gesticulating and laughing, and I can't hear anything.
I won't get clip chimped, as they call it, and have that come back to haunt us later. No, yeah, so it's a shame he's not here, but yeah, I haven't. I was, if you remember, 2 weeks back, I had like a coughing fit on that episode, right? Like I was constantly taking breaks to cough.
But you had tested for COVID.
I was negative, and I just like had, I had that cough for a couple of days. It's pretty much gone now, but I was definitely like sick-ish for a day. So yeah, but I feel like everyone is sick now. Everyone in meetings is coughing. When I go out, people are coughing. I'm like, everyone's fucking.
Yeah.
Allergy season too, you know?
Since holidays, I mean, if you pay attention to it, COVID's been spiking a lot. So depending on where I'm going, I have masked back up a handful of times. And by the way, like a lot of other people have been during holidays.
Oh, yeah.
I still see some people doing it again now.
I see people masking up. Yeah.
I mean, apparently it was the second largest COVID spike since, like, including lockdown time. So
yeah.
If you don't have your latest booster, you should know that the old ones don't do shit for it, because it's changed significantly enough that if you don't have the latest booster, you're basically going in raw, which is why Alex is very, very sick.
Yeah.
He couldn't even read manga. He couldn't play Walkabout Minigolf.
Yeah, it was funny because initially he was not excited, but he was like, I have to live in the basement for the next couple of days.
But he was a little excited.
I was like, that's a great, but he was so sick that he couldn't even take advantage of that. So that's how, you don't want that.
He thought it was going to be like last time when he just had like the sniffles and he had to isolate himself in the basement for 10 days, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas this time he's been sick for like 3 days now.
Three days of really, really sick. And he was honestly going to try to make it to the show. We're going to have a bit of a shorter episode.
I've got to go to the airport.
He was trying to make it, but he then hit us up and he was like, I'm worse for the worst. So show him some love, message him in the Discord. We'll make sure that
I bet you, I didn't ask, but I bet he did not take advantage of Paxlovid either, which helps so much.
That probably won't happen.
It's just like, just go. It's so easy. Teladoc. You just go on your healthcare, or you find like a one of these Teladoc apps. Boom. Paxlovid. Feel way better. All right. Well, fuck 'em.
Let's get into it.
Not here.
Fuck 'em. That is cool.
Is the 425th Pokemon. Today we're talking about Drifloon. A great, creepy, awesome trivia, very cool Pokemon, in my opinion. I'm going to describe it to you quickly. It's a balloon with a big yellow X in the middle of its face. It has two black eyes on the side of the X. It doesn't have a specific mouth that's visible to you. On top of its head is sort of like a cloud that's a little wispy. And coming off of it, instead of regular little strings, there's two strings, and they have what look like hearts at the bottom, but they're hands. This is how it grabs children.
Let me see. I gotcha.
This is a ghost flying type.
It's one of those creepy ones.
Yeah, this is a real creep Pokemon.
Okay. Yeah. It is. I'll tell you what. This is again. Oh, I see. Oh my God. I'm seeing it grab in like a mango, a picture of it in a mango grabbing something. That's weird.
I'm gonna have to get Therese from the airport. She's had the worst, like her flight got delayed, canceled, changed planes, sat on the tarmac for like 2 hours. She just messaged me. The baby that's been sitting next to her screaming the whole time just had a diaper explosion. But luckily none of it got on her. She was like, I can't breathe.
That's fun.
Which is why I was like, I will pick you up. I'm not going to make you take an Uber.
Yeah. 100%. This is one of those, however, that has been hurt for me by Pokemon Go. Because for a long time, they were just the only thing that was showing up.
Oh, really?
Still one of the most prevalent ones. Yeah.
Weird. What a weird choice for that. It's not like, you know, your Golbats.
I think it was just
like
that.
Sorry.
No. It's fine. I just think that at the time that I was playing it heavily, this generation was being introduced. So there's a number of these kind of this gen Pokemon that like showed up a lot because it was their like first wave into it. But yeah, I've caught so many of these fuckers in that game. But I'm always down for a creepy Pokemon. So it gets a lot of points for me there. Yeah.
So you don't usually think of a ghost type Pokemon as the kind that are prevalent. You know?
Sure.
So that is surprising. Tom, you gotta take over the origin.
So the origin of Drifloon may be a combination of drift and balloon. So,
okay.
You know, yeah. And
what about the translated version?
Yeah, Fuante, maybe a combination of Fua Fua, which means soft, airy, and light, or an onomatopoeia for floating. Fusion, which means balloon, and Fuante, which means unstable.
So theirs is much more of just balloon. It's surprising they don't have anything creepy in the name, considering it's a ghost type.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, the balloon is purple on Drifloon. It's got yellow hands. I got to give it to them on this one. You know, of course, the shinies are primarily just color swaps. This is a good color swap. I think the gold. Oh, yeah. I think the gold with the teal is a cool color swap. I think it's considerable enough. I hate when it's just like, here's a lighter shade of purple.
Oh, sure. Yes. I mean, it is a big change. I'm just not a fan of it. I think.
I'm a big fan of yellow.
I think that the original is much better.
I like the original better of the two. Okay. But I think for a shiny, it's like, okay, that's cool. It looks very, like they went with very different.
I'm also like looking at those colors. I never really like brought this up, but like I'm looking at the fucking sprites for Pokemon Home and they're like awful compared to the games.
Where are you seeing that? Pokemon Home.
Home. It's the very last option.
What's awful about that?
I just think like the sprite and the and like specifically like the coloring, I think looks better in the sprites for the but like all of the games, but that yellow in the home, like it just looks like super smooth.
Yeah,
like it,
I mean,
it doesn't have any like the shade, there's no shading on it to give it like some like on at least in like
everything
Legends
is
Arceus.
Flat in home.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no outlines and everything is flat.
Yeah.
I think home looks nice when you look at it together. I think that's an art style that you need to see like all the whole. I see what you're saying though. In comparison, like it doesn't pop as much. It loses some dimension for sure.
Yeah.
It loses its shape. Tom.
Yeah.
You want to hear
a fact? A
yeah,
factoid.
You hear some shit.
I want his
Pokemon Legends Arceus said to lure away young children and carry them off to the afterlife. Some whisper that Drifloon are formed of reincarnated human souls, but these rumors are as yet unconfirmed.
It's cool. It's cool. I'm pulling up the note now.
There's a lot of cool art for this Pokemon online. It has a very cool fan community. I mean, listen to these. There's many of these. It's whispered that any child who mistakes Drifloon for Balloon and holds onto it could wind up missing.
You know what? Looking at the note, I think it's going in the bottom.
Oh yeah, the notes.
Yeah, let's do that because
let's
looking
place
at
it on the board.
I think it's going in the bottom half, but I do think it's going near the top. I think I would put it under Rampardos, like under the dinosaurs and Floatzel, above Vespiquen, Cherubi. Oh yeah, 100%. I would definitely put it.
I think that's great. I think that's a great spot for it. I think 22nd out of 39. I fully agree.
Yep.
Floatzel is a cooler Pokemon. I like Drifloon a lot. I think it's a really cool Pokemon. But the fact is, I like all of the Pokemon above it.
Yeah, like it's not beating a dinosaur. A dinosaur inherently, yeah. And then
Shinx
you got
is the clear like wall still into the upper echelon of Pokemon.
Yeah,
but I
we're
would
hitting
say
the border at this point, like you know the soft border from here to Shinx. It's like all right, it's a little tough if you're.
I think
get
Drifloon
these.
Up is a good Pokemon. Like we like it.
Yes.
Vespiquen down is like. It gets worse every Pokemon you go.
We should, once we're done with this, we should like tier them.
Okay.
Yeah. Once the list is done.
Sure.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Let's move on.
22nd, is that right? Out of 39 on the list. Yeah.
So Tom, so Alex says he doesn't care.
If we have time, I'm down to do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
we'll leave it for next week, maybe. But
okay.
Last week, Tom lost in our head-to-head challenge, which was Hot Wheels. We did a fastest lap on spinning golf.
Still so mad about it, dude. I'm still so mad about it. To the point where I went back, boosted the bike, and I think beat you won. I think
you
I
beat Alex.
Oh, I beat Tuna. Oh, I didn't beat your time?
No, that's why I responded with stop the count, because you still didn't beat my time. You still lost my time by like 0.3 seconds.
Yeah, I need it. If I had just known that from the jump, I think I would have, because that time I shared was like the second or third like run I did. And I was like, oh my God, automatically like blew past my time. Like, fuck. Anyway. Yeah.
Still, I mean, look, the time you had gotten with the class of vehicle you were using, I had not gotten that low. So had you played with a better vehicle, you certainly could have won, but you didn't. And so, you know, that's how it goes. That being said, what we're doing now is in Call of the Wild, the Angler, which is available on Xbox Game Pass. We are catching a white mountain fish. Whoever gets the largest. Now, there's two factors in finding out your largest. There's the weight and the length of the fish. If either of us clearly win in both dimensions, then it's an easy solve. But if one of us wins and has the heavier one and one of us has the longer one, then we're going to multiply our weight versus our length, and whoever has the larger number there is the winner.
I love it.
So I have a feeling there's a good chance that that might happen, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right. I like it.
You can, by the way, catch those in the tutorial pond, so you don't have to leave the tutorial area to catch
a big boy.
That fish. It's the most basic fish in the game. So Tom, as the loser, now has to do a PowerPoint presentation of my choosing. We may or may not get to that today. We were supposed to do that on the off weeks, but because we have a shorter episode today and Alex isn't here, we might wait till next week. Tom.
Mm.
Alex has reached. I'm going to give you an update for him on One Piece because we've been talking about it all day. Because he has been reading since last night, and today he was reading quite a bit. He's in the 500s now.
That's halfway.
Almost. Yeah, he's almost. Yeah. Actually, yes, he did. He texted me what number he was on earlier. He did just pass halfway.
Can you meet me halfway? Yeah, that's. I mean, I can imagine that's probably he's getting a lot of manga reading in. Considering that there's fuck all else for him to do.
Yeah.
Great. That's awesome. Yeah. Still in Logue Town.
Yeah.
Spoilers, Buggy and the I forget her name, but the pirate queen from the Alvida. Very first episode, Alvida, who has now like is now become super sexy because she ate gum gum fruit. But I love the fact that she thinks that she's always looked like that.
Yeah.
And that, like, I forget what she said. She's like, the gum gum fruit gave, like, an excellent sheen to my hair or something. That was really funny. And she's obviously with Buggy, which is what was being teased at the end of the live action would happen. So glad to see those because I do really like Buggy as a character. And I knew that he would ultimately come back because they kept doing those they did that side episode with him. Yeah, anyway, exciting times for manga readers.
You're doing One Piece. Are you watching the dub or the sub?
Dub. I watch because I watch anime with Brooke now, it's all dub, except for a new anime I'm watching, which I think you might like.
Kaiju number 8.
No, it's called Go Go Loser Ranger.
Oh, it's Super Sentai show.
It's a parody of Super Sentai.
Parody anime is in.
Yeah, it's a parody. Basically, what happens is I've only watched the first two episodes, but basically, these aliens show up.
Of course,
like they do in Super Sentai, and the. There's this dragon, they're called the Dragon Keepers. They are like the Sentai team. And they basically compete every week in a fight.
Okay. Like a tournament.
And in an arena that people come to spectate. Cool. It's become I think initially, because there's so much that it's 17 years later since they first showed up, and there's so much history that we don't know. But the show is actually about, if you remember Power Rangers, I'll use as a reference, the putties, the henchmen. The equivalent in this show are the focus of the show. It's the grunts in the bad guy's side. Because and this is revealed very early on in the first episode, basically the Power Rangers, the Dragon Keepers, took out their leadership, destroyed their monsters, destroyed the bosses. And all that were left were the grunts. And they basically have a pact with the grunts of, hey, if you give us a fight every week and make us look good, we won't fucking kill you. Like we won't take you out. So there's almost a the Seven from The Boys. Like they're actually evil, but they're masquerading as heroes kind of thing. Like I don't know what level evil they are, but they are lying to the public about what's really going on. And it centers around one of the henchmen. And the other thing with the Dragon Keepers has an organization that is Voight, they have a giant corporation behind them, and the merch sales of the things and all this stuff is, and that one of the henchmen, cause they can shapeshift, kind of goes undercover to infiltrate their HQ or whatever. So yeah, I mean, I think that it has the potential to kind of speak to, because it is a parody anime, there's nothing about this concept that I think is going to put you off from watching it. So yeah, I watched first two episodes of that. So that I'm watching subbed because they don't have dubs yet, and I'm just watching it. I'm not watching it with Brooks.
What are you guys going to do with One Piece when you get to the point where I think One Piece is not all dubbed yet?
It's okay. Yeah, I don't know about sub dubbed. I mean, I think at some point, I mean,
the show itself is dubbed, but
right. But at some point, we'll switch over, I feel. Right? Or no?
I mean, One Piece is cut almost all the way up to the current arc.
Right, but I was always under the impression that it was the earlier episodes that we were trying to kind of get through, and at some point, no? Okay.
No, actually, so the pacing only gets worse. Of the anime, not the manga. The manga is unbelievable, the pacing. But the anime is the opposite, actually, because it's something like the first few hundred episodes of the anime are actually less chapters than there are manga. So like the anime at the beginning is doing like 1.5 to sometimes 2, but it's probably about 1.5 chapters per episode. And then at a certain point, it goes to less than 1 chapter per episode.
Less than a chapter per episode?
Yeah. Sometimes there's a reason for that in, you know, the when you're reading the manga, the panels for the action are kind of just showing you like certain bits of that. And when you flesh that out into an animation, so like big action areas get stretched out in like meaningful ways that are good. But boy, otherwise, is it actually like... It's just the unfortunate economy of what the show is, you know?
100%.
Which is why they have that new adaptation coming.
But I mean, I think it's also, I think it's part of the legacy, right? I think it's a part of why it's become so popular as well, so.
But if you're watching it the way you're watching it right now, like only 15 minutes at a time, all you have to do is skip the first 6 minutes of an episode, because that's the recap, the intro and everything, and then you watch 15 minutes and then you'll just skip over to the...
I know the problem is like we just kind of eat it, like we only watch it when we eat it with dinner, and we eat so quickly, like we get like half of an episode, but it's fine because I'm like, oh, I'm still watching it faster even at this pace than people who are watching it like week to week originally. I'm fine.
I'm excited for you to just get past where you are, you're basically still only like
I'm cusping
at where the live action is. So Tom, I have a little show and tell.
Okay,
so first of all, I sent you a picture of this thing, or you saw it in my story, but I got this thing called Putterball.
Oh yes, yeah.
Did you see that? So Putterball, for people that don't know, I just found out about this. I saw it on Instagram ad, had to buy it immediately. It is a putting green that on each side has 6 holes for like beer pong style mini golf. So you're basically playing head to head. You each stand at one side of the green and you hit it to the other. It's 12 feet long. It's 12 feet by 2 feet. And it folds up into a like 2x2 square. They're basically like those foam mats that have the putting green layered on top of it. And then it just folds onto itself. The nice part where the cups are is raised. So you're kind of playing, you have to like hit it up a slope as well. So you're kind of hitting down a slope and then up a slope.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun. It's very fun. One weird problem with it, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
The club that it comes with is exceptionally short, which is weird. Like, it is a child's, I measured it, it's a child size.
Right,
club.
You were saying that, yeah.
So I haven't, like, I've been enjoying it for the last couple of days, but, like, only in brief spurt, because, like, it was, after, like, 10 minutes, like, my back hurt. You know, like, because of my back injury. So I did just get this, like, extending club, which is very nice. And I got some balls, and I got these like little like portable holes that are flat, and they have little flappers on them that when the ball rolls into the hole, it flips the flapper and locks the ball in there. So that way it's not like a ramp, like those like people like buy little like ramp holes that they can put on their floor or whatever, and they'll just play like mini putt, like they'll just practice putting in like their room or whatever. This actually like works a lot better because you can kind of attack from all angles. So I just dropped a couple of those on the roof now. So now I'm just out up on the roof and I'm just putting around. That's not my real show and tell, but this thing is amazing. And I sent it to Alex and I'm like, yo, this looks amazing. And he goes, oh, I have that. And I was like, what do you mean you have this?
He said
and
that?
He was like, yeah, he was like, oh, I already own this. I was like, well,
the
is it
telescoping,
good?
The telescoping.
No, no, the putting green. The
oh,
putter ball.
Right.
He has putter ball. And he said his mom got it for him for Christmas. And he hasn't opened it yet. I was like, what are you doing?
Oh, okay. So that's funny. So he hasn't even. Oh, that's so fucking funny.
Which, like, he has the
that's
perfect location for it.
Yeah.
In his office right behind his chair. I was like, you should have Brittany bring that down. Like, while you're sick downstairs right now,
yeah,
you can just be putting around.
Yeah.
He could get up. He could do like
so
a Zoom
meeting.
He could do like a real power move at the Zoom meeting, just like taking hits and
yeah.
You know, I mean,
I'm sure.
Like,
yeah,
to his subordinates.
To his, I don't know if he does. He even have subordinates.
Yeah, he manages people now. I think he definitely has people under him now. He's said enough times that he's gotten like promotions. There must be people below him.
I don't know, but maybe. All right.
Am I giving him too much credit?
No, no, no. I just feel like he never talks about. Even off the pot, I don't know. I just don't know. We'll have to ask. We'll have to find out.
Okay.
What's
so the,
been going
the real
on?
Show and tell.
Mm.
I went to Disney. I soloed to Disney. I went on Monday.
You soloed.
Free solo Disney is great. And I will tell you about that. But first, I want to do a little show and tell.
All right. I think he just changed the lighting of his room. I think it's really like a deep blue now. He's walking back into frame. Oh, fuck yeah, the Darksaber. Fuck yeah. Yep, that's good. Does it light up?
It's lit up, yeah.
It is lit up.
The lighting in here is not ideal. The cameras, I think, adjusting to the light.
It's lit up right now. Pull it up. Show it lit. What's going on? It's so funny. What the?
I was going to show you something else.
Oh, okay. That's lit right now. Okay. It's obvious when. Okay. Yes, I see. I see. Very cool.
It's much more obvious. I think
it's obvious when it's off. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because I have a white shirt, so it's reflecting so much of the light right now that it's hard to tell.
Very cool. Let's see what's happening now. Let's see. What are you doing?
I was seeing if it worked better over on the side.
Oh, right. No. Then... Yeah, it pops up. It's all good. Oh, what do we got here? Oh, are those Ahsokas? Yeah. Those are big. Those
Dude.
Are meaty. Can you even, like, those look really thick.
They're super thick.
Super thick. I didn't know they were flat like that. That's cool.
The large one, which is the longer sword, which Ahsoka uses like primarily for attack. This is the one she'll use two-handed. Whereas the other one, she does use for attacking, but it's also this one's smaller and it's not as thick.
But doesn't
so this
she
one's
always...
not as thick and it's smaller.
Gotcha. Doesn't she always use both simultaneously?
No. So there's been times where she'll just have one and then she takes the other out, but.
Oh,
I think at a certain point, like it, probably we mostly see her now with two because
she's a Jedi Master.
It's,
or
yeah, it's cooler.
it is cool.
It's cool. I like that the hilt is really it's such a unique design for Star Wars.
Yeah.
So I got these.
It's more like a actual like sword. Well,
yeah, it's like a katana hilt.
Yeah, it's like a katana hilt. That's really cool. I didn't realize
that. I like that the short saber. I like the smaller hilts on the short saber.
Can
that she uses more for blocking.
Just watch Ahsoka, or do I really have to watch these cartoons?
So you don't have to watch the cartoons. The problem is you're gonna miss out on, like, you don't know anything about Ezra. You don't know anything about, I mean, man, Rebels is, in my opinion, actually a lot better than the Clone Wars.
So just skip Clone Wars.
Yeah, probably. Did you ever watch that like final season they did of Clone Wars?
No.
It's just like six episodes. And it basically all takes place right before
Return.
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith, right.
And so it's like about a war on Mandalore and shit. Like,
okay.
It's pretty sick.
Could just watch that.
You could watch that.
Yeah.
And watch Rebels. I don't think Rebels has full I think Rebel seasons are like 12 episodes or something. Okay. So they're not like 22 like the Clone Wars was. So I do also believe that so Ahsoka is not in all of Rebels.
Yes, I think she shows up like season two. Yeah. Yeah.
I think actually on the Disney page that they have a thing that's like Ahsoka
catch
and
up,
they have like a bunch of like clips and things you can watch. So you could do that.
I'll look maybe I'll look into that.
You just but you know, like one or two of the characters you'll be missing a little, but I, you know, it is what it is. I'd rather them use these amazing characters that they told these stories than not because they were just in the cartoon. So whatever. So I went to Star Wars over at Disney. I didn't do anything else. I just went down there. I went to the Star Wars area. I got into the cantina. There was like almost no wait. It was great. So I got a Ronto ramp. I went to the cantina. Going to the cantina solo, at first I was like, oh, that's going to be kind of weird because like it is treated almost like table service.
It's meant, well, I think they have a bar, right? Like you can sit
so
at
that
the
was
bar.
The thing. They put me at the bar because I was by myself and that was fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
I felt like way more like I was like at the bar in Star Wars.
Like you were actually at a bar having a drink.
Yeah, because the bartender
like,
was serving me and the bartender was talking to me and stuff and they stay in character the whole time. So it was like, oh, this is actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's actually really awesome.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be. I was like, oh, this is weird, but I'm just going to do it anyway. I'll probably have fun. And then I was like, oh, that was fucking sick. And then I got drunk because
I
had
really.
Dude, I hadn't like I had a Ronto right before winning, so I was like, oh, because I hadn't eaten yet for the day, so that went right like it hit me right away. I was like very mildly drunk, and then I went on some Star Wars rides. They have a single rider line on the Falcon. I did it three times.
Falcon. Every time I've done, I think I've done it twice now. Both times we didn't have a long wait at all, even in the non-single rider line. It's always been Rise of Resistance that's been a bit longer.
Yes, which but, because we have the memberships, we get like a slight discount on some stuff. So I just paid the whatever it was like $20, and just it let me get right onto the ride. I was like, fuck it, I buy myself $20. Here you go. Did that. So the Falcon ride has been causing some controversy lately because So for anyone that doesn't know, when you go on Rise of Resistance, when you go on the Millennium Falcon Smuggler's Run, you're basically playing a video game. You go inside the Millennium Falcon cockpit and it's six people will go in. Two people will fly. Two people fly. Two people are gunners and two people are engineers. Yeah. And they're split on the left and the right half of the room. The pilots, one is steering, you know, left and right. The other is steering up and down and doing the hyperspace. It's a lot harder to pilot this thing than you think.
Yeah.
It is very sensitive. You would think that it would be much more acceptable, like, cause you know, like kids and people that don't play games, right? You really have to like know what you're doing. The first time Teresa and I piloted it, the guy was like, go let, like, there was like a guy in the background, like yelling. Like, and I've seen people posting shit, like getting mad about it. Like, oh, they shouldn't let kids fly. And so like people get like upset. I think it's stupid. But man, Therese is always like, oh god, I don't want us to fly, just let us stand in the back, we'll let someone else fly, because of the time the person was like yelling at. So I get on a ride and it's a mom and she has like three daughters and this other single rider guy is with me, right? And we're the engineers and this one girl I was surprised was allowed on because she was so small. Like, I was just surprised that she actually reached, like, the height limit. She's a gunner. Absolutely doesn't understand. She's pressed anything. So it's amazing. So she's not shooting anything down. The mom filming her three daughters also not shooting anything down. So we're just under attack the whole time. Right? The other two girls, one of the girls immediately, because she didn't understand what to do, just started freaking out and just like was like, I don't know what to do. So the only one girl is like piloting. She's like reaching over and trying to pilot for the other girl. I think it's hilarious. I'm sure there are other people that would have gotten that ride and been like furious about it, but like it was so fucking funny. Tom, I did not know you could do this bad, because when you get hit and your ship like gets fucked up, like the lights, all the power got shut down in the Falcon, the air is like blasting on me and we're just getting rocked. Like
it would be funny if like panels like fell and like, you know, it'd be
amazing.
And, like, yeah, that's so funny.
It would be amazing. Oh, it was
you must
so
have just
funny.
Been laughing the whole time.
I was, and for the second time now, I got it for the first time last with Therese, and I got it this time when I went solo on like I think my last ride. There's like there's a rare disco light room where you'll get in and the disco lights are on and you have like
in
a rainbow.
Falcon?
Yeah, there's like a rare, depending on when you get on, it's like a random number generator. Like you might get this special light effect and stuff while you're in there,
okay.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
They're like, oh, you have the disco room. Enjoy. I was like, what? And all I looked around, like the panels are all lit up like rainbow colors. I was like, oh, this is pretty sick.
That's pretty cool.
So yeah, it was great. And then I went into go buy sabers, and I came out with the Darksaber and the Ahsoka set. I got the Ahsoka Legacy set because these are the ones that she currently has. They had the ones that she has from Clone Wars, which aren't as cool, but they do turn blue and green. They're not her non-white sabers. But I was talking to Alex because I want to have a collection of all the like significant sabers. And I think there's 10 that I definitively want.
Luke.
Yep.
Both Lukes.
Well, so this is where it gets weird, right?
Yeah.
Right? So that's what, when I say there's 10 I definitively want, I'm not doubling up on anyone. So that's without doubling up on anyone.
You wouldn't do his green saber?
Well, this is where I'm saying, like, I want at least one of two Luke sabers.
Also, Luke's first saber is Anakin, so.
Right. So that's where.
Yeah.
So.
I gotcha. Okay. So Anakin, Luke, Do you have Leia's? Like the one from Rise of... Is that in
I don't.
Your...
That's not on my definitive 10.
Sidious?
Also not on my definitive 10.
Interesting. Okay, Vader.
Yep.
Which is just kind of a colorway, right, of Luke's?
Yeah, but it's Vader's.
Like, yeah, it's Vader's. Kylo, obviously.
Yes.
What's that? That's 5. Luke. Baba de Ganoush. Luke, Anakin, Vader, Kylo, Obi-Wan.
Yes.
You're only doing Qui-Gon?
He's not on that list, but he like he's on the
I
you
love
know,
Qui-Gon saber.
He's on my expansion list, but not on the top
Yoda?
10. Yoda's on that list. Which, by the way, is funny because I still think it was a mistake to give him a lightsaber in the first place, but it's so cool.
No, it's
that
so
I want
cool
because
it's fucking
so
tiny.
Fucking cool that I want.
Alright. I'm at 6. Are you
including the ones I have?
Okay, so Ahsoka, Darksaber. That's 8.
Yep.
So I have 2 more sabers,
and I have Rey.
Dooku.
Well, so I also have Rey, so that would get you to 9.
Rey, and then Count Dooku.
Darth Maul.
Oh, Maul's double sided Maul. Ball,
which
Darth
is
Maul,
like the most
Darth
expensive
Maul.
One, by the way, because
oh,
it's you're buying
Darth...
two.
Dude, it is definitively well. Isn't? Wouldn't it cost like as much as Ahsoka's would?
It's probably actually is as much as Ahsoka's. Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
look, as
dude,
much as Ahsoka's.
When Darth Maul, when we first learned that Darth Maul was gonna have a double-sided lightsaber, I'm sorry. Like, I love Kylo's lightsaber. I love.
Oh, it's so cool.
I love all of the weird lights. Like, I like the lightsabers, lightsaber whips, whatever. I like all the weird ones. But nothing will be as cool as Darth Maul.
No,
lightsaber.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. But I will say, if of all of the follow-up, like, interesting sabers, I think Kylo's is
Kylo's
second.
Is the, yeah, 100%.
Especially because of the shattered, like, the unstable blade.
Yeah.
And so here's the thing that has kept me from getting Kylo's, and I would have got it this time over the Darksaber, because there's one thing about this Darksaber that everyone complains about, which is they feel like the black strip is actually, like, a little too thin. It should be a lot thicker. Like, there should only be, like, a edge of white, whereas it's actually more white than there is black on it. But people have made like a thing to go over it, which makes it look much more screen accurate. So I ordered that.
Okay.
But the Kylo saber, like, it's not as cool without it looking, you know,
fucked up.
Yeah, because of the way the power comes out of it, because he's the cracked crystal. People have made sheaths that you can either just completely replace the ones that Disney has, or some are like they just go over it. Yeah, and it's 3D printed and it's clear and it like holds on from the same tolerance as the saber. And I looked at it and I watched the videos. Tom, it's unbelievable how good they look. Like it looks really, really good. It just it's they're called unstable blade sheaths. So now I'm like, fuck, Kylo might be
the next one
that I get. Yeah. I'm gonna get it's one cool more saber. Very soon. So and it's either gonna be Luke or Kylo. I haven't decided which. We're gonna go for on the 5th for the weekend of May the 4th. So yeah.
Cool.
I'm high on Star Wars lately, man.
I mean,
I rewatched Andor. Great, we got that new Star Wars show coming. We got Outlaws coming.
I'm very excited. Dude, Outlaws, I am so fucking hyped on.
You gonna buy that Jabba mission for an extra like $40?
I will be very fortunate.
You might get a code.
I will probably be on the, I'm always kind of the Ubisoft person. So I think that I might
be sick
on that review. Actually, maybe not, because I think we've assigned pretty much the rest of the reviews for the year, and ooh. I don't think I'm. It just depends, because like sometimes you get multiple codes, so it's like, multiple people can get code and get footage and all that jazz, depending on how hard. And considering that we will probably want to do a lot of coverage around that launch, that game, maybe we will. Anyway, regardless, getting ahead of myself. Outlaws. They played it. Alex Van Aken, who is the video guy over at Game Informer, played it in Sweden, like went to Massive Studio, and he was like, the biggest compliment I can give it is that it doesn't feel like an Ubisoft game. Like it feels very Star Wars, and like it doesn't feel like I'm playing Ubisoft Star Wars. And I was like, that is music to my fucking ears.
Yeah.
because like that, I mean, there was multiple issues with that Avatar game that came out, but like the biggest one is like its best features is where it's doing like interesting new stuff that goes beyond the Ubisoft formula, and its absolute worst parts are the traditional like Ubisoft.
Dude, all the scavenging and shit, like I just didn't care about the, like I thought I was going to be so hyped on that, and I just couldn't get it going in that game.
It's a shame that that game came and went, because there's a lot of like really good stuff there.
Beautiful too. Yeah.
Beautiful game, but I think it like plays fun. Like I think it's like such just like a fun, like to get move around the world.
I didn't get up to where it's supposedly fun.
Yeah, you have to like unlock like I put a whole video together, and I think the first kind of like tip I gave was like, there are these 5 really important abilities that the game doesn't really tell you that you should go get immediately, but you can get all of them immediately, and they will drastically change how that game plays.
Interesting.
Yeah. But anyway, Outlaws, cool stuff. Yeah.
Cool.
What speaking of games.
Yeah.
What have you been playing?
Well, so Alex did get in Walkabout Mini Golf today for a little bit, because today a new course came out.
Oh, that's right.
It looks
right.
to be a new pass, probably a new set of courses. I'm hoping that they'll just do these forever and not just do 3, or they'll just do a second series of them, but they're calling it Passport. And this one is Venice. And man, Tom, did they fucking nail Venice. And like, I'm so glad that they dropped the Quest 1 support, because the levels ever since then, all the DLC have been so much more interesting and dynamic. Like one of the first things like we did before we started the course, we're like at the first hole and we see a gondola going around. So we get in and we're just taking a boat ride. And we took a boat ride around the whole course. And it was amazing.
Interesting.
Amazing. And when we zoomed out, the city was massive, Tom. The city was massive. And like there are so many like cafes, like the course like weaved through like cafes. Like there's like a gelato place, a pizza place, coffee place. Like it was highly detailed. The water effects are great. The lighting is great. The music is nice. But Alex was sick, so we only played one round and looked at the nighttime, but we didn't play it. So we didn't even find the lost balls. We didn't get the club yet. But I'm very into it, and it is a like non-gimmicky course, which it seems like they might be getting into a rhythm of like kind of classical mini putt, what you would expect, and then sort of like gimmick, like going on and off between those. Cause like we had Meow Wolf, which was like really weird, had like portals, all these crazy physic things. And then the next one was Around the World in 80 Days, which, although the setting was interesting, like it was all like geometry gameplay. There wasn't any like weird mechanics on that. But then we went to Ice Lair, and that's where you're like turning into ice cubes and there's like ice lasers and all this other shit. And now this time we're at Venice and it's like very straight mini putt again. And then the next one, I think, is probably going to be Wallace and Gromit. And I think it's called like Wallace and Gromit's Contraption or something, like Amazing Contraption.
I'm very excited for that one.
Yeah. And that's sure. That's definitely going to be some like real clockwork weird shit going on. Excited.
I mean, they're going to nail it. Like,
yeah,
I have absolutely no doubt they're going to nail it. But
that art's going to translate so well.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
oh man, I'm actually really fucking hyped. Like, I am there day one for that one. Buying it. Getting all the things.
Well, we should if Alex is feeling better this weekend, we should show you Venice. You should come in and play.
I haven't done the Ice Lair one yet either, actually.
Yeah, well, we should do both then. We'll do round 18 in a while. The hub world got rid of the raft and has the gondola from Venice on it, which is pretty cool.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
So the only other thing I really played this week was Halo. I've been playing Halo. Love Halo again. Back into Halo. We played Destiny as a group.
We did. We certainly
I had
did.
Fun with it. I was a little toasty, so
no.
Performing great, but
it was your first time back in the saddle. It was really fucking funny.
Alex is in. He's fully Destiny pilled again. I can't
believe
it.
I actually cannot believe it because like we wrapped up that we wrapped up playing and then like we were just going through menus. He was just like discovering like all of the menus and I was like, oh no, this is where he's gonna all of them, you know, because that's the, if you want to stick with Destiny, you have to like learn that shit, like how to like get in the rhythm of claiming things, like claiming and getting everything in the right place.
You have to move fast too, because I didn't have enough time to go claim a thing, and then it was it. That was it. Like, we didn't have the stuff.
What do you mean?
Oh, sorry. I was talking about the mode we were playing. I wanted to go like activate a hologram, and then you said one thing. I was thinking of another.
Oh, okay. I'm specifically talking about all the back end stuff.
Yeah, your accolades and all the other
shit. Boosting this and like putting the weapons and
it's a little daunting. I'm not gonna lie.
It is 100%. I mean, look, dude, we had multiple conversations while we were playing about like all of the fucking ways and where there are roadblocks and how they.
But you know what it's like
to make Destiny 3. But Tuna, after all that was in, I was like, okay, all right.
The problem is that it feels like we're trying to jump into like an MMO that's been running for a decade.
I mean, yeah. I mean, that is what is happening. Yeah. No. But I'll tell you this. Once you and God knows I'm nowhere near like there's still so much I'm not entirely sure and don't understand. There's stuff that I really just ignore. Like when I would play with like when Lightfall came out and I was playing with people who played nonstop all the time. I would learn something and I'd be like, do I need to know, like, do I need to do this? Like, if I just want to, like, enjoy the game? And they're like, no, absolutely not. Like, some specific, like, thing with the guns and, like, finding the right, you know, passive abilities and shit like that. I can't be keeping track of that, too. So that, you know, but the level that I'm at, I've gotten to, like, a pretty, like, quick, like, pattern of, like, okay, pick up bounties, swap this out, check this. Okay, make sure my loadout looks like this. I have to hit this, this, and this. I want to, you know, all that stuff. I've gotten it pretty down pat. And like once you get into that rhythm, it kind of becomes more like noise and like you're able to enjoy it more because you understand what the flow is And that's the biggest problem with the game, is like, it's great when you're in the thing, but the moment you're out of that fucking mode, you're like, wait, now what the fuck do I do? You know? So I actually beat this week. I played one night and I just like didn't want to stop playing, and I beat this season's storyline, the season of the Witch.
Wow.
Which is was actually really cool, like really cool story. I'm really excited for the final shape now after beating that story. It had some bullshit in there, I will say. There was like one point where it was like, you got to go to, there's this thing called the Dreaming City, and it's like, you have to go to these three locations, but you have to access them through this fucking astral plane, and you have to just like destroy enemies. So I just like had to, I was just like waiting for new enemies to reload, and like would run and just like run in circles basically. So I was like just clearing out enemies, and by the time I got to the start again, they'd respawned. So there was some bullshit there, I will say, but I think like the story and stuff was really cool. So yeah, excited for Final Shape. And
what's the launch date on that again?
I think it's like June 6th. I think it's like the fucking week of
Summer Games Fest.
So. Yeah, which really is
fucking seems like annoying. A smart idea for them to put it out right then.
Yeah. So, who knows? We'll see. But yeah. So we played that, and you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, I had a good time. I think it's fun. Cool. I'm excited for the final shape.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, I didn't, you know, I already said I was back in. I didn't need to be convinced like Alex. I just need to go figure out. I need to get online and figure out how I get those Halo weapons.
You need to get the Halo weapons. You should figure out a build that you want to do, because it makes the combat even more fun.
Sure.
I don't know if you actually read what I had texted. A guy sent like a big wall of text.
No, that's why I sent that text. I was like, yeah,
I ain't reading all that. Basically, I have kind of my like ranged melee, right, is a three fire daggers that basically insta-kill any like grunt enemy. And like they do like significant damage. If I kill an enemy with those daggers, it instantly replenishes.
Cool.
I have two stacked, so if I miss one, I automatically have a second one. Yeah. And my dodge, if I have a dodge that's my B, if I dodge while enemies are shooting at me, it will also replenish. So if like crowd control, because I'm constantly being shot at, and because like it's almost like in Helm's Deep where they shoot the fucking arrows and Gimli goes, did you hit anything? You know, those fucking knives are just flinging. And so like, I'm just like fucking doing this basically.
Oh my God.
When there's a ton of like, you know, grunts charging at you or whatever. So builds, you make it another kind of level of fun. Yeah. The only other thing that I've been dipping into, I'm still working at Final Fantasy VII, just kind of constantly chipping away at that. But I did play a new game, a new indie game.
Oh, Tunic.
I haven't gotten back to Tunic. No, I played another Crab's Treasure, which is the like crab game from developer AgroCrab.
Yeah, I saw that. How is it?
It's good. Really solid. It is I wouldn't say it's difficult if you play Souls games, but there is like a challenge. Like I wasn't breezing through it.
Okay.
Like bosses, I would have to take a couple of tries. And I also think that the game has some issue with, it's definitely not as tight as something like a From Software game. So there is definitely some unfair things that are happening in the one of the first bosses has this, it's like a, you know, those tea, really fancy, like, tea dispensers where it's like a ball on the end of a chain.
Yeah.
And a metal ball. And so the first enemy has one of those.
Like a tea infuser.
Something like that. And so, because Junk is the story is really good, and like it has a lot to say, and it's funny. It's really fucking witty. And it has like so many quips and like one single lines that like really made me laugh. But it has like a social commentary on like pollution in the ocean. So like you have your shell and it's made out of trash because you are trying to find your real shell has been stolen. And when you put the shell on, it, depending on what it is, it gives you something. So like a soda can, if you put it on, you can press X and it will, it's called fizzle is the ability, and it creates a like fizzy bubbles that then when the enemy gets close, they automatically like do damage against them. Or it, or there's one where it's like the tip of a sriracha bottle. And when you press the button, you spin, like you do like, you flip on your shell and do like a spin move. And there's a ton of different trash, like, and they have like different stats. So the coconut, which allows you to do like a, get in a bowl and like do like a ram attack, that has a ton of health. So it can be chipped away at, but, it's, it slows you down. Like you're not, you can't really move as well. So all of that is great. But yeah, in the first boss, they have, the enemy has this tea infuser, and they, if they whip it at you and you get caught in it and they slam you on the ground, it is a one hit kill. Like it will, you will can have full health and that slam on the ground will like knock you out. And there was a couple of deaths that I had fighting that boss where it was like I immediately loaded into the boss fight. And within like a second, they did that move and fucking killed me. And I was like, I don't think they're meant to like be able to whip that out immediately. Because like if you don't have time to get your bearings, like you're so, you know, even like move the carrots because you're kind of still loading in. So there's like little things like that that make it like that extra level of like unfair tough. But the game has a bunch of accessibility settings, which I haven't looked at and used, but I've heard that they're really good, even to the point where you can give Krill a gun and it's a one shot. So if there's like a boss where you're like, I'm slamming my head against the wall, Krill being the crab character, I'm slamming my head against the wall, like just fuck this boss, I just want to get, move on. The game will just like allow you to give him like a 9mm pistol.
Oh my god.
And shoot like a full size 9mm pistol. And you can just shoot the boss and then you can move on to the next thing. So that's really fucking funny. Art style is great. Music is fantastic. I think it has a really good soundtrack. It's on Game Pass. So there you go. If you got Game Pass, you can play it on Game Pass.
That's sick.
Yeah, cool game. Another really cool indie to have come out.
How long is it?
I believe I haven't beaten the game, but our reviewer has, and they played about 12 hours, which is, you know, a little on the longer.
Yeah, a little longer than I was hoping. You might say like 8, but I might play it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on, obviously, like how fast can you get through the bosses and stuff.
Sure.
But I also think that, you know, there's a lot of like, it's not, it's a 3D platformer too, which I probably should have mentioned, and it's a really good 3D platformer. So there's a lot
more interested now.
Yeah. So it really weaves 3D platforming and the combat in together like really well. So you'll 3D platform through a section, you have a grappling hook to like, you know, hook onto things and swing, and you can do this. So you'll do like a 3D platform section and you'll land, and then there'll be enemies and you have to take them out, and then you'll kick off into another platforming section. So for the most part, the rhythm of all that is really good. But that means that there's a lot of like hidden like things to find, and like lots of like alternate paths where it's like, oh, if I go this way, I can unlock a boost, or I can get like a currency that I can cash in for something. And so there's a lot of like hidden stuff that I think if you just didn't necessarily, if you just like main pathed it, you could probably cut a nice chunk of time off that length.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm into it. I want another game. So. Well, I mean, I've been gone fishing, but by the way, so we have a current rule where the winner of the head to head gets to pick. I do think we should, we should consider either a stipulation of you can only win so many in a row and choose possibly, or I don't know if maybe we should readjust to just like rotating who gets to pick. However, The last two times, I kind of didn't mind if I had lost because I couldn't think of anything. But now this time, I did think of a new challenge that I actually want to do. So you better get fishing, Tom.
All right. I love it.
You want to do some quick news and then we will bow out?
Yeah, totally.
You didn't have a chance to check out the circle yet.
I have not started the circle, unfortunately. We haven't watched this week's Survivor either. We did watch this week's X-Men, which was fantastic. That show continues to kick a ton of ass.
Can I tell you what the big new twist is in the circle? Because they tell you during the
intro. I think you might have shared it in the group chat.
I didn't.
Okay, go ahead then.
I did, but it was invisible ink. So unless you clicked on it.
Oh, no, never mind. No, I didn't.
So they're introducing everything and they're like, oh, new building, new city, which is great because it means, like, you know, you're not going to set up a new building and everything. If we're only doing one more season. So we're probably getting quite a few more seasons of this, which is great. But Tom, this season, one of the players is ChatGPT.
Oh, shit. Wow.
One of the players is completely AI operated.
That's interesting.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's very good.
Okay.
It's very good. It's very well done.
All right.
It's great. And they tell you during the intro in the first episode. So it's not like, yeah.
I'm really curious. I'm really curious from like, just like, yeah, I'm curious.
Yeah, they must have made some kind of model for it, you know?
The model that I just can't imagine the conversations they've had in seasons past and an AI being up to snuff to keep up with that. Like, but if they're creating something hyper specific,
yeah.
I mean, they say that they're like Siri technology or whatever is like all real and like just like super advanced. And that shit kind of like blows me away how like,
yeah, maybe successful. They've been using OpenAI this whole time.
Yeah, maybe it's Sam Altman's fucking.
Because this is they said it's powered by OpenAI, so it's cool. It's really well done, and the best thing is also like unlike the previous seasons where it's like people get eliminated like right away, the first elimination doesn't even happen in the first four episodes.
Right. So that's what I thought you were referring to of the twist.
So much better.
Yeah, that's always been the problem. I'm curious too, obviously the other problem that past seasons have had is like people who are late, like it always usually ends up being mostly OG players.
Or like one of the first, I think whoever comes in last is always fucked. No one's going to win who comes in last. But yeah, like there was a winner, I think, who was like second or third in, but the original eight always have an advantage. So that's absolutely true. That's definitely correct, which I guess makes sense, right?
No, it is one of those things where it's like hard to kind of wrap your head around how you would even resolve that issue.
You have two circles going. You call it the Venn diagram season, and you have them going separate. And when they get down to what they think is the final four, but then they merge, and now you have the final eight. Yes,
that's a really good idea.
That'd be so good.
I actually texted you and Tuna yesterday. I was really stoned, if you couldn't tell,
great,
when this happened. But I basically had the idea of a tennis. Roguelike game, and we came up with a bunch of really good. Oh, I just heard that there was a new Top Spin coming out, and it was really good. And I was like, man, like I used to love tennis games. I used to play a lot of tennis, and I used to play a lot of golf games, like Tiger Woods PGA Tour, back in like the PS2 era and stuff like that.
On VR, put PGA Tour on VR.
I'm sure that there's some kind of like. I mean, maybe on PGA too. Tour, yeah. Okay, well, let's get to news since we are doing that. It's a good, very light news week. Embracer, the catastrophic failure of a company that gobbled up a bunch of studios and then banked everything on a $2 billion deal with the Saudis that never went through. And so they had to start selling all those studios and laying people off and all this. They have... Embracer is now no longer... Embracer is dead. Long live Asmodee Group, Coffee Stain and Friends, and Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends.
Is that just Lord of the Rings properties?
So,
oh, sorry, and Friends.
Yeah, and Friends. Exactly. Middle Earth.
Did they make Enterprise the Golem game?
No, they did not make the Golem game. They acquired the license while that game after that game had already been developed. But yeah, so they basically have split into three groups. In fact, let me see.
Someone sees Golem come out and they go, you know what, we need to acquire this hot property. Lord of the Rings.
They you know, it's really funny. It's really funny because someone tweeted after they acquired that property, or maybe it was when Warner Brothers was like, oh, we're gonna milk Lord of the Rings for all it's worth. Like, we're getting fucking spin-offs, like we're gonna do more movies and all this. Someone was like, as someone who tweeted, they explained, like, I previously worked on like the movies, like on the marketing and stuff, and like, as popular as they are, multiple people have attempted to make Lord of the Rings a franchise thing before, and like, it just doesn't happen. And yeah, so I'm curious as to see how they can actually milk that. But here's how it breaks up, because it is interesting the way that some of their studios, because they have so many fucking studios that are broken up. Kind of, let me see here. Yeah, gotcha. But yeah, so what's interesting is that Crystal Dynamics is like the lead studio for their Middle Earth Enterprises side of things. So will we get a Lord of the Rings game from those people? Let me see here. So I'm just trying. There was a fucking chart that had all of them like broken up into the correct things. Anyway, they've split up into three fucking companies. They will. Chris, do you want to know the reason that it's that the companies are called like Middle Earth Enterprises and Friends? Like, why it's that like nom de plume? Are you curious?
It's gonna have other things. Not like Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, so Embracer. Well, yes, I mean, yes, I think that it does mean that. But specifically, why they chose the "and Friends"? Like, why it isn't like "and Co." or something like more?
Oh, sure.
So, this is from Ethan Gutch, basically quoting their presentation when they explained why they were doing this. And Embracer CEO Lars Wingefors reveals why the new companies are called With Friends. Quote, I really enjoy having lunch with friends. And by using the name With Friends, I hope to have more lunches.
That's fucking insane.
It's an insane to say. It's an insane thing to say. The moment that would come out of him, I'm like, oh my god, this whole project is fucking doomed for failure. Okay, so yeah, so look forward to Crystal Dynamics, Legolas, and Eidos Montreal instead of doing some, you know, being allowed to like do something fun with like Deus Ex or like, you know, like do something they want to do. We're gonna get Samwise Gamgee's gardening.
Well,
that's actually pretty good. That's pretty fun.
You know,
there's that Tales of the Shire, this like cozy game coming out called Tales of the Shire. That does actually look pretty good. So
let me get a Shire course in Walkabout Mini Golf.
Dude. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. That'd be
great. The nighttime one, you have like Gandalf doing the fireworks.
Oh my god, Chris, that is perfect.
It would be so good. It would be so, so, so good.
Yep, yep. And then the other news tidbit for the week is that BlizzCon 2024 is not happening. This is from The Verge by Ash Parrish. Blizzard has announced it will not hold BlizzCon, the publisher's annual fan convention, this year. Quote, after careful consideration over the last year, we at Blizzard have made the decision not to hold BlizzCon in 2024. It said apparently they will be having other smaller events and will be at like Gamescom. But obviously now Blizzard is Microsoft. So it probably is just not. It doesn't make any sense for
after careful consideration, we have decided not to endorse your park.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, no BlizzCon. Shame for all your BlizzCon heads. But
is Jurassic Park the greatest legal movie ever made?
Legal movie?
Yeah. Is it the best? No. Is the best?
My Cousin Vinny.
Oh. That's the best. That's the best courtroom movie.
Okay. So what's the
this is the best lawyer movie?
Because
the whole movie, the whole inciting incident is that guy gets eaten at the beginning of the movie, and the lawyers are going to shut them down unless get experts to endorse the park. And the very last, like one of the very last things is Alan Grant's like, after careful consideration, we decided not to endorse your park. Like the whole reason they're there is to tell the lawyers, like, you know what? This is safe.
It's fine. Yeah.
Like, that's the whole point of the movie is that.
I mean,
like,
no, I didn't remember that, but I would, you know, to think of it like as a legal film. I mean, I guess, I guess you could call it that. I mean, yeah, that, it's not too bad, but, yeah, pretty slow week for news. I mean, there's been a lot of reviews out. That Stellar Blade game is out. Another Crab's Treasure is out. Sandland, the Toriyama, the last project from him, that game is out and is apparently very good. Like, all those games got some good scores. So lots of gaming to get done. But yeah, other than that, that was kind of it for the week.
All right. Well, Tom, I'm going to outro us because I got a plane to catch. So next week you've got a presentation. I hope you have a little extra time to tinker with it.
No, I will. I will. Yes.
So
I feel pretty good about it. But yeah.
You should add a slight preamble. Just be like, this is where we are in the story, you know, and then here's where we're going.
All right.
Hey, listen, join us in Head to Head. Join us for another episode of the Unranked Podcast next week. And emails, questions, comments, voicemails, hit us up. All the information is in the show notes. But until next time, and as always, stay unranked.
Definitely make sure to suck it.